Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he'd put on a dress and play a girl bunny?
No.
Neither did I. I was just asking.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Did we lock you in a dumpster one time?
I got out.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
That's somebody's daughter up there.
Up there. I was just going to say that.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Dynamite dropped in money. That broadcast school has really paid off.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague, hour number two on the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, 1080 AM and YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. Good morning. Happy Monday. I hope it's a happy Monday.
For some it is. For some it's not.
For a lot, no, but for some, yes. Buy the dip. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. We will get to some Western Conference dealings. Did you catch the Lakers just absolute beatdown of the Thunder?
I did catch that.
Basketball dirt feeling good.
Your Thunder a little fraudulent. Little fraudulent. Also, Draymond Green just can't get ejected from a game. Like how
gets to do whatever he wants.
Explain that to me, NBA.
The minute you look at a ref the wrong way, you get teed.
Boom, you're gone.
Draymond just screams in their face, pushes them.
Taunting them, daring them to eject him, and they won't do it.
Draymond, one more.
I'll go sit in a corner. It's all right. You can emasculate me.
I had to do a double check to make sure everybody on the Thunder were playing. I'm like, how is this happening?
Because
I missed the beginning because I watched the women's tournament.
Right.
And then that quickly got to a blowout, and so I turned over, and I was watching both. But I'm like, damn, dude, look at the Lakers.
Here they come.
Trailblazers, I misspoke earlier. Atlanta last Tuesday.
Yes.
They won. And that was funny because they needed to lose and Atlanta needed to win.
That was the one where I was, people proclaimed I was very angry the next day on the show.
You did seem
angry
very
dirt
angry.
On
you
Wednesday.
Did seem very angry. Sharp had 33 in that game.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Then they went
Denny
to Toronto.
Denny had a big game too, I believe.
He had a good game. Yeah, 15 boards, 10 assists.
But now he's got a thumb sprain, so he can't play anymore. Four days later, he can't play
anymore.
Let's
get to this. So then they go to Toronto Thursday. Yeah. They win that game.
They do.
Then they play Chicago Friday. I called it, by the way. Told you they were going to lose.
You did. You called that one.
But they only lost because in that game, they tanked.
Wait, what? I was told they're not tanking, though. It's unethical, and you're taunting the basketball gods. They would never do that. They would never have guys having a good game, and then with 5 minutes to go in a close game in which their playoff hopes were technically still alive, would sit there. But there's no way they would ever do that. Because when who did it in Portland? It was
The Raptors.
The Raptors did it. Yeah. There was one other team that did it, too. I can't remember. Was it Atlanta when they were here? There was some other team when they were in Portland did the same thing. And I was told that was the most unethical thing imaginable, and the Blazers would never tempt the basketball gods like that.
Well, then so Friday they say, let's lose this game. We don't want to beat the Bulls. The Bulls are in play-in stuff. They lose. Then they play the Spurs yesterday afternoon.
They did. 3 o'clock start.
And the Spurs obviously don't have Wemby, but the Spurs aren't trotting out there the greatest of lineups. Spurs have not been playing good basketball. But you're in a fight for the eight.
You are.
To be the eighth worst team in the league, you're in a fight with this team.
You're a game and a half behind them going into the game.
And I'll at least say this. Portland did say, well, Denny's not going to play, all right? We're going to do what we can to lose this game. And then the Spurs showed up and said, no, we're not going to make a shot. You're going to go up almost 20.
In the first quarter.
And they damn near blew it, but they didn't blow it because Tamani had a great game. Chris Murray had a nice little game. And they beat the San Antonio Spurs, basically eliminating themselves from getting the eighth worst record.
Yeah, it's over.
And now they're in a race with Phoenix to see who's going to be 10th because Phoenix lost to the Knicks. And now Portland is like a half game behind in the old percentages. And so if they beat, who is their next game? At Utah. And they'll win that game.
They're going to beat Utah.
They beat Utah. Phoenix plays Golden State, who is currently playing for playoff positioning. And
yes,
Phoenix blows.
Yeah, Kevin Durant's hurt.
There's a good chance Portland could pass the Phoenix Suns for the 10th worst record.
Well done.
In the association. And I'm just going to say this because I know some people are going to hear dirt. And they're going to go, here we go again, Mr. Angry Pants. That's the nickname on the streets, by the way.
Mr. Angry Pants is
Andy. Or Grouchy Pants.
It's Andy Mr. Angry Pants.
Mr. Angry Pants Johnson. That's what they call me.
I know it's coming. But I will say this. I text with a few different media members, both in our market and out of our market. And it was a most universal, I have no idea what this team is doing or thinking right now. It is all over the board of win, don't win. No, don't win, but try not to win. But win. But win? Don't we win? Should we lose?
Can't tank. Now we're tanking.
And so I'm just kind of fascinated at this point because they only have
three games left. Literally yeah. three games to
I go. Am fascinated
Final
to see.
Final week of the regular season.
This is it.
Where they will finish. Will they be ahead of Phoenix or will they be behind Phoenix? I have no idea at this point.
10th worst record in the NBA is an unmitigated disaster.
Now, the Blazers' last two games are against the Lakers and Warriors, who appear
likely will be playing for something.
I had a few different takes, too, from the people I was texting. And it was basically that. It was, how did they talk themselves into purposely losing for last year's draft?
Yeah.
But this year,
they
waited to the final seven games to say, hey, maybe we shouldn't try as hard.
Let's turn that water off now with three games to go in the regular season. When they had
for a substantially better draft. It's not even a conversation.
It was almost comical to see what happened on Friday and then yesterday. I almost couldn't help but laugh at it because I have been yelled at for weeks by people telling me they would never do that. They have a head coach that won't allow them to tank, missing the entire point.
Who has yelled at you for that? Because they actually quite literally have been doing that the last 2 years.
They've been tanking at the end of years.
Yes.
That's been my entire argument the last 2 to 3 years.
Clear as day.
They've played a G League roster the last month of the season the last 2 years. They've had no problem doing this in an unethical fashion for back-to-back seasons now when they play four guys that I've never heard of before in Scoot Henderson for the last month of the year last year. Nobody had a problem with it. And the idea that this year you couldn't do it is just like they should have done this 3 weeks ago. Winning the games in Atlanta, winning the games in Toronto were just inexcusable. They had the game where they beat Denver a couple of weeks back on a Friday night. Like, the opportunity was there not to get a top five odds. That ship had sailed. The opportunity to get into the top six, likely gone. Your main goal should have been to get into the top eight. And now that is done. You're not, they're 2.5 ahead of or behind, however you want to define it, San Antonio with three games to go.
I say behind because we're talking about the race to
you're
the bottom.
You're 2.5 behind San Antonio. Yeah. So you're not getting a top eight pick. That is sailed. And now you might end up with the 10th worst record in the NBA or the 10th best odds in the NBA draft lottery, which going into the year, if I would have told you that on game one of the regular season, you would have said, oh my God, that's a disaster because you're exactly where you don't want to be. You're not good enough. You're not bad enough. And so them randomly coming out on Friday night and acknowledging, you know what, we should probably start losing games with, let me check my notes, 4.5 games to go in the regular season. Whoa. Now you want to start tanking? Are you kidding me?
Then the funny part was they actually trotted out a tanking lineup yesterday.
What happened to Denny Avdia all of a sudden? Did he get hurt?
Thumb injury. Nagging thumb injury.
Duh, he hurt his thumb.
Yeah.
You're telling me he couldn't hurt his thumb before he started having 35, 15, and 10 triple doubles 3 weeks ago? Now he hurts his thumb when you have not, like, it's done. It's over.
I thought it was the funniest
thing. The movie's ended. The credits are playing.
Yeah, well.
Now he's got a hurt thumb.
Now at the end of movies, though, Dirt, you have to wait till the credits are done to see the tease for the next movie.
This is the teaser.
So let's wait. Let's see
where they finish. 25 Jump Street and 26 Jump Street and 27 Jump Street.
I had this on. I was trying to get ready for the gambling show, and I have this on, and I'm just chuckling because I'm seeing the starting lineup of Tamani, Donovan, Tease, Shaden, Banton. And I went, they're going to try to lose. They are clearly trying to lose this game.
Now,
it's a race for eight. It's the Spurs.
But I was told that Chauncey Billups wouldn't let him do it. He doesn't have to. You play a bad lineup. You should have done that a month ago.
Dude, their bench was Justin Manaya, Jabari, Chris Murray, and Ryan Rupe. Yeah. And they won going away. I mean, no,
going
the Spurs
away.
Came back, but they kind of won going away at the end there.
Kamara shouldn't have played either. Why Kamara
well,
was in
Murray
the lineup.
Chris Murray looked like Keegan all of a sudden.
That's fine. Kamara shouldn't be in the lineup. Shaden Sharpe shouldn't be in the lineup. Like, this should legitimately
be. Who's a G
be...
League guy that we didn't call up that we could have put in Tamani's place?
There's got to be another guy on the
but
G
that,
League roster.
That was the funniest thing. To the other side that's like the ethical tanking and who cares. It's a lot. Guys, it's a lottery, you know. Anybody could win the first pick.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe we'll get it.
Maybe.
We don't tend to get good stuff here. Maybe. We don't get nice things in Portland. I also know we're not built for it here in this city. And so watching the arguments back and forth of tank, no tank, I feel like that loss actually did it. Go check the Blazers mentions and their smiley face. Hey, we won today. It was just like, why did you win?
Why?
What are you doing? But they tried to lose, and they couldn't because the Spurs were terrible in the
first
half.
They got out-tanked. It was never about that game. It was about beating Memphis and Washington and Toronto and Denver a couple of weeks ago.
Well, in hindsight, you look
winning
back,
in Atlanta, winning in Toronto.
11. The 10 of 11 that they had, that streak where people were like, I don't know, man, this team might be kind of built for something.
And Blazer fans, guess what you did again? Well, you fell directly into the trap as you do every single year. Oh. Hey, they could be turning a corner. They did just enough to continue to make you buy tickets all the way until the end of the season, and now they've turned the water off and pulled the plug. Yeah. They did just enough.
I've seen some empty
to
seats.
Keep you around there until game 80, 82 of the regular season.
Yeah. Well, isn't that all you could ask for? Little old Portland, Oregon.
Little
USA.
Old Portland, Oregon.
Cherry blossoms and Blazers winning games in late April. I'm
You're
so
the
excited.
Seattle Mariners of the NBA. You do just
whoa,
enough.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We've been enough. To the finals, buddy.
That's been a long time.
Does it be careful with
it. It hasn't happened in the last 25 years as a count.
We've had way more playoff success than the Mariners.
It's easier to make the playoffs in the NBA than it is Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but it's not easier to get to the Final Four. We were in the Final Four in 2019.
You're damn right we were. Were we, though? Because we didn't win a game. So I don't know if that really counts about being in the Final Four.
I was at those games. They really happened.
The logo was on the court. Is that what you're telling me?
Me and Colin Kaepernick sitting courtside.
Just as much as UCLA was in the Final Four of the Women's Tournament.
I can't with this team anymore. I can't do it.
Well, there's three games left, so you could just, you know, grip down and just go with it.
I'm not watching those games. I'm not doing it.
How bad is the Utah game going? Like,
that's going to be.
What would you be watching the Utah game for?
Which way is it going to go? Like, because Utah plays no defense.
Oh, Utah has been. I mean, you talk about.
I mean, Portland's
going to
win that
game. They're giving up 140 a night.
Portland's going to win that game. Ryan Rupert will go for 37 points.
Is there a chance we lose that game, though? We don't play well at Utah.
No.
I'm
just
saying.
But I guess, is the game going to be like 150 to 145?
Isn't Tamani questionable?
Or is it going to be...
He's been questionable for a week and they've been
questionable
like playing
for like 2 weeks.
Eventually, that questionable turns into doubtful, into Chauncey saying, Tamani Kamara's not playing today.
The Jazz have, I believe, the worst home record. No, I stand corrected. Washington is 8-31 at home.
But can the Jazz pass anybody?
Well,
they're in the top. They're in the bottom three, so it doesn't matter.
Their
odds
don't
matter.
Charlotte, and Washington are locked into the bottom three.
I'm going to say this. Tumani doesn't play. There is actually a legitimate shot that we lose that game.
I love your optimistic take. They're going to win that game.
Well.
And then knowing our luck, we're probably going to get to the final two games of the regular season where things are mostly decided maybe for Golden State or LA. I'd have to go look at all the numbers and the math behind it. But watch the Lakers not play anybody the final game of the regular season. And it's like, oh, look at that. Let's add another one and jump.
In the West,
Phoenix.
The Lakers are a game and a half ahead of the Nuggets for third.
Okay.
And they're four back of the Rockets, so they ain't catching the Rockets.
So depending on what happens in the next two games for those two, they might be locked into the three seed by the time that happens.
And also the Warriors are tied currently with the Clippers.
The Warriors
are going to
play.
The Warriors will have to play.
Warriors are going to play.
They'll play.
So the Warriors will be playing. You will lose that game.
By 500 points, you will lose that game.
Eh. Let's see. We'll see what happens to Utah.
They're going to lose.
Utah's been so
bad. I mean, they're going to win. They're going to win that game.
I got a couple more NBA dealings I want to get to coming up next. Carter Baines is going to join us from 24/7. We'll get to that coming up next. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. I will say, though, despite Mr. Angry Pants,
who's right, by the way,
well, you won't be right if they end up winning the lottery.
There's a 3% chance I won't be right.
Yeah.
I'll rest my head on the pillow at night, sleep well, knowing that I have a 97% chance of being right.
I mean, you can go and break down all the math all you want. Like, just what the difference between 8 and 9, it may not seem like a lot, but in terms of your chances to move up in the draft lottery.
It's not just about the number one pick. The number one pick is the pie in the sky, let's dream big here. It's about a top four pick in this draft. Top four, top five pick in this draft.
I mean, the history of the league, and again, we do this and then people rattle names off as if it's like the longest
of
lists.
What about Jokic?
Right. The Quesarito. Like, the 10th player picked in a draft largely is at best if you're lucky. There was an article I saw. God, I should have bookmarked it, but it was basically a rundown of the history of picks. And it was like 9 and 10. You've got a 20% chance of you having an all-star.
Yes, not a superstar, generational face of the franchise player.
Yeah, we should dig
just
around
an all-star.
All because the Blazers need an all-NBA level player.
Yes, that is the next thing that they need.
Yes, can you make an all-NBA team?
The hardest thing to find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
they
how
got
many
some
of those
stuff.
Have come out of pick 9, 10, 11, 12 in the history of the current draft?
Well, we'll see. I feel somewhat like a broken record, but how they did it and what they did this week, and I just I I couldn't help but kind of chuckle to myself.
Here are your last handful of ninth overall picks. Zach Edey was it last year. Mm-hmm. Taylor Hendricks for the Jazz the year before. Jeremy Sochan to the Spurs in 2022. Mm-hmm. Davion Mitchell in 21 to the Kings. Our very own Denny Avdia in 2020. Rui Hachimura, who's going to get traded for Damian Lillard in 2019. Kevin Knox, Dennis Smith Jr., mm-hmm. Jakob Poeltl, Frank Kaminsky, Noah Vonleh.
It's not a great history.
That's your history of the ninth pick in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, look, I feel like most of us are logical based and we know this, but because Denny had a good year and Tamani took a step and Shaden had some moments and Scoot had some moments and Donovan proved that he wouldn't die if he played more than 10 minutes in a game.
You're building the supporting cast, but
now you got to do the hardest thing.
You got to go find a lead.
You have a good roster. You just don't have a star player. And the star player is the hardest thing to find when you're in Portland because you can't trade for one. And you're not going to get one in free agency. So you got one way to get it.
Here.
And so you essentially either got to win the lottery, literally, by getting a 3% chance of the number one overall pick, or win the lottery by some team being stupid and drafting back-to-back point guards and Johnny Flynn and somebody else so Steph Curry falls to you.
The Warriors have been as hot in the NBA as any team since Jimmy Butler got there. They beat the Lakers, and everybody's like, yeah, Lakers can't beat the Warriors. And I'm like, well, Luka just didn't play well, too. Like, is that a possibility?
Yeah, in a seven-game series, I think he'll be better than that.
And then the Warriors yesterday at home just got physically manhandled by the
Houston
Rockets.
Game plan, Ime's game plan, they double-teamed Steph all over
everybody
the place.
Everybody else beat us.
And we challenged the rest of you.
And they played extremely well.
And it was great.
The Lakers against a full all-in Oklahoma City Thunder absolutely annihilated the Oklahoma City Thunder yesterday. Just pantsed them in front of their home court.
How did that happen? That was just they damn near scored 50 in the
Luka
first quarter.
Luka was unreal.
Well, they hit
this game.
15 threes in the first half.
They had 70-some in the first half of the game.
Yeah, it was
they
like 78.
15 of 22 from three in the first half, which is a little late, unlike Lakers normal stuff.
What's funny is we've highlighted this now, I think, two or three times on the show. What's funny is when the Thunder lose a game like that, it does lend itself to people like Dirt that are like, I don't know about the Thunder being this unstoppable force. Yeah. That was their 14th loss of the season.
Exactly.
And then they're 64-14 on the year. They're 35-6 at home.
The Lakers have lost 30 games.
Go back and look at the playoff history of the Celtics, who, I think it was a game two problem. Like, they would win game one at home,
and
they would cruise,
and
then game two, they would play an absolute stinker.
I remember them last year. The Cavs without Mitchell and maybe Mobley or Allen ended up beating the crap out of the Celtics. Like,
exactly.
What is that?
Yeah, they had this game two problem.
Yeah.
And that's – we talk about because it's game seven series early on. So, if a team that's significantly better, if they play a stinker, they can't shoot or whatever like that. If it were a three-game or five-game series, that becomes significant. A single game becomes more significant as opposed to, it's a seven-game series. They just couldn't make shots.
You had an off night. You got six more chances at it, or five more, depending on what happened in the first or second game of the series. Yeah, I mean, that's not one that you overreact to. It's a regular season game. I think we've reached the point in the season, especially for a team like Oklahoma City. What are they playing for?
Yeah, I mean, they've locked up the one.
I mean, it's done. I know you're playing for pride, and guys are still in the lineup.
Too long.
I know you don't want to. It's the whole rest versus rust thing. We go through that in every sport. I do think from a mentality standpoint, it's hard to get your guys fully bought in. And yes, you're playing the Lakers, and yes, it's Luka and LeBron, and I understand that.
Thunder are prepared. They're mentally preparing for the playoffs.
I just think mentally they've moved on. I think they're ready for the playoffs to start. And the Lakers are playing for seeding, and they want to make sure, hey, home court, hey, let's get the 3 seed. They might want a specific matchup in the first round.
They're still trying to find some chemistry and continuity still.
So even as the anti-Thunder guy on the show, that was crazy. I didn't see it coming, but I'm not going to overreact to it. It's one regular season game.
I'm kind of curious to see how the rest of this shakes out because the standings suggest that a lot of this stuff, like the Grizzlies, Clippers, and Nuggets are all within like a half game.
So a lot to figure out in the last week of the regular season in the Western Conference.
Well, but here would be your matchup. So let's just go by 1-8. You get Thunder Grizzlies in a 1-8. Okay? Is Ja going to be pointing that gun at Oklahoma City?
I would take Oklahoma City to win that series easily.
Then you get Houston, Minnesota.
Yeah. Interesting series.
Fascinating, because I'm going to take the Timberwolves. I think the Timberwolves can get the West Finals.
And Houston had a win like they had yesterday, and you're like, man, can they? I mean, it's funny how the NBA team and the college team are almost the same. Like, let's muck it up, play defense.
You have two teams that are serious about playing defense, too, for 48 minutes.
Then you get Lakers-Warriors.
Oh, yes.
I mean, yes, please.
It's a wet dream for Adam Silver.
And then Nuggets-Clippers is a fantastic series, because the Nuggets just lost to the Pacers yesterday.
And the Clippers have a center. They actually have a center.
Yeah, Zubac is good.
And he will battle Jokic. Now, if he can avoid foul troubles, one thing, but at least he's willing to go in there and...
Well, I'll tell you, how about a second-round delight of Nuggets-Clippers?
Didn't you? You wanted to give a bang-em.
Bang with him.
Nuggets-Clippers versus the Thunder. That's your second-round potential with a Houston-LA or
Minnesota-LA,
Minnesota-LA Golden. You know what I mean? Like, there is... some real second-round juice going on in the West right now.
West playoffs are going to be awesome, man.
I kind of hope, actually, I really hope the standings stay exactly
you want
as
that
they
lineup?
Are.
You want those matchups?
That's my first-round dream. Because Oklahoma City should take care of the Grizzlies. They're terrible. I think Minnesota could beat Houston, but I also could be underplaying what Houston could be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then L.A., you get LeBron, Steph.
One more time, maybe. Maybe the last time.
And then I think the Clippers could beat the Nuggets, but Jokic is amazing. So, maybe the Nuggets end up taking care of the Clippers.
Yeah, it would be awesome. That's a hell of a lineup in the Western Conference.
Let's get back into the NCAA tournament. We move on from the Blazers, not knowing if they want to win or lose games, and the Western Conference playoff race heating up with the final couple games. The NCAA tournament, the Final Four is done. We've got Duke blowing a game to Houston, so Houston's in the national championship game, and Florida beats Auburn. So we got a Florida-Houston national championship game. How are we to feel about it? Carter Baines, 24/7, has been covering the tournament. He'll join us for the Daily Ticker coming up next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, today's Daily Ticker presented by Pelican Brewing Company. With the return of warmer weather, Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Final Four was on Saturday. National Championship is tonight. Joining us now to talk about it, friend of the program, covering college football and basketball for 24/7 Sports, Carter Baines. At Carter Baines on Twitter, you can go give him a follow there. Carter, good morning to you. Have you gotten over the shock and awe of Duke blowing that lead yet on Saturday night?
Still reeling from that one. I did have Duke in my bracket, so that hurt a little bit. But the quality of the game, I think, made up for the pain of getting the pick wrong.
Well, where are you at, Carter, on Houston? Because they certainly deserved and earned that win the way that they played down the stretch and kind of put Duke in a little bit of a panic. But we also have the other side of this where Dirt's over here and he's basically like, great win, good for Kelvin Sampson, very excited for him to maybe get a national championship as a head coach, but I don't want to watch Houston. Where are you at on just kind of processing Houston being able to come back against a really fun, exciting Duke team, but their style of play maybe not being the most electric to watch?
Yeah, it's not always aesthetically pleasing, is it? I mean, that's just the way Kelvin Sampson teams are built. It's how they operate, and I think it's a testament to what he's built there at Houston that they were able to win a game playing that style where they're down by double digits to a team as talented as Duke. Like, that's a team that just has bought in to the extent where they say, you know what, let's just go get it done. We've been together for a couple of years. They've got the continuity. They've got the talent. They just played their style, and, you know, they stuck with it, and they got it done against what I think was by far the most talented team left in the field. It's impressive. I think it's the kind of win that could spark a little bit of juice here entering the championship game, of where it's like, hey, we just won that game in the craziest way possible. Now let's just go win one more. There's just one more. Let's do it and go start to finish and beat Florida. I think that's the kind of game that can give you that lift. And I mean, I know they're a 1-point underdog, but it's coin flippy. And I think, I mean, nobody would be surprised if Houston beat Florida. As good of a run as Florida's been on, you know, to win in that style and to beat Duke, you know, and in my mind, I think they have to be the favorite now.
See, I was going to say the same thing. As I saw that opening line, and it was Florida 1.5, and Florida certainly could win this game. Clayton's been awesome. I tend to just think Houston's going to say literally anybody else, and Florida's going to look around and say, maybe Elijah Martin, maybe. So we'll see what happens, but I kind of thought that would have been reversed in terms of who the favorite was. Sounds like you were also surprised that Florida opened the favorite versus Houston being a 1.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and it's not a knock against Florida. I think they're probably the most complete team in the tournament. The balance between backcourt and frontcourt, and then obviously the star power there with Walter Clayton Jr. Like, would it surprise me in the slightest if Florida won this game by 10? No. But I think what we've seen from Houston on this 18-game winning streak, which is the longest in the country by far, and I mean, obviously, a lot of those winning streaks ended in the tournament. I just think you have to give them the benefit of the doubt now. You know, they went through the Big 12. They lost one game. It was by 1 point to a Texas Tech team that was, I think, Final Four caliber. Like, I think they're just the slightly better team. I think that they are now, you know, of the one seeds that were in the Final Four, I think having beaten Duke, they have a very strong claim to be the best team in the country. They've beaten top-ranked teams all year. They probably haven't gotten the credit they deserved. And now they're one win away against a very good Florida team from saying, this is who we've been all year, and now it's time for you to take notice.
Yeah. We're talking with Carter Baines, covering college football and basketball for 24/7 Sports. Friend of the program, at Carter Baines on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. Kind of a bigger picture one for you. I'm curious to ask, man. Like, we've talked about this throughout the course of the tournament, and I want to get your thoughts on it because you follow it closer than we do. The two storylines that have been kind of hanging over the tournament have been the death of the Cinderella, what happened to the underdog, and will it ever come back because so many guys are in the portal, and these teams that used to be able to rely on guys sticking around for a couple of years and going on runs doesn't seem like it's going to exist, and people thought, well, that's going to have a negative impact on the tournament. And then the ratings have been the best that we have seen in forever. And I saw the numbers from the Final Four, the early look-ahead numbers yesterday afternoon, I think. The numbers for the Auburn-Florida and the Duke-Houston game were massive, especially that Duke-Houston game. I'm curious why you think, because if I were to break it down, like, hey, how do you feel like the tournament's gone? I would say it's been a little lackluster. Like, it's good to have household names. You got number one seeds involved, but not a lot of buzzer beaters, only one overtime game. So hasn't been a lot of stuff coming down to the wire. Why do you think so many more people are watching this tournament than maybe have in years past?
Yeah, the beauty of March Madness, obviously, you get the Cinderellas and the buzzer beaters. And when you lose that, I think the first two weekends, and specifically, you know, the first 4 days of the tournament lost some of that. And I don't think it caused people to tune out per se, but I think there was that aura of disappointment that, you know, man, it just doesn't have the same juice. But it's a double-edged sword, right? Because the fewer mid-major teams and low-major teams you have in the second weekend means the more high-major teams and the more 1-4 seeds you have, which sets up for just what has been an incredible final week and a half of the tournament, right? Like, would you trade an 11 seed making it to the Final Four for all 4-1 seeds? I think most people, you know, would say, man, I love having that 11 seed make that Cinderella run. But then they get to the Final Four and they see the quality of game we've had. And it's like, okay, maybe that was worth it.
I think I look at Walter Clayton and I can't help but wonder what he's going to be in the NBA. And he's been awesome. Like, this is all-time NCAA tournament stuff that we've seen from him. And we'll see if he can kind of put them over the top and get this national championship. But 34, with Auburn knowing that he was going to be their bucket getter. I mean, it's really remarkable. I can't wait to see how Samson and Houston play him. What do you make of Walter Clayton, the play in the tournament? And when you look at him, trying to decide what he is as an NBA player, because he's 22, he's a 6'2" guard, but he's been unstoppable up until this point.
Yeah, I have seen him move up some mock drafts and you know, some big boards, and I think deservedly so. Like, the tournament can be where players kind of stake their claim to being one of those under the radar, really exciting prospects in the draft. And, you know, it's a guy who was basically a zero star prospect out of high school. He went to Iona, developed under Rick Pitino. I think that clearly did wonders for him. Transfers up to Florida. Now he's having the run of the tournament. You know, I think he's the most outstanding player of the tournament if Florida wins, and nobody's going to argue that. How he translates to the NBA, like, sure, maybe he's not the biggest, and maybe he doesn't have this amazing prospect background, and maybe he's still a back end of the first round kind of guy, but there are some players where when you just watch them play, you know that they have it, right? And, like, I hesitate to make this comparison because nobody is Steph Curry, but some of the shots he has made in the tournament are Steph Curry-esque, right? Like, the ones where he's spinning around and he's got his back to the basket, and a tenth of a second later, the ball's up in the air and he makes it over a defender. Like, those are the kinds of plays that will translate to the NBA. The sidestep threes with a hand in his face, those are shots that not every college player can make. There are a lot of very good college players who don't pan out in the NBA. I think he is an underrated college player who will thrive in the NBA.
Yeah. Carter Baines, great stuff, covering college basketball for 24/7 Sports. You can check some of his write-ups on the tournament. The 24/7 site, at Carter Baines on Twitter as well, is where you can go find all of his great work. Thanks for the time, man. Enjoy the national championship tonight, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yep, thanks, guys. Hopefully it's a good game tonight.
Yeah, there you go. Carter Baines talking Final Four NCAA tournament, and a player and a team that we haven't even really talked about an hour and 45 minutes in the show, and that's, hey, you know, Florida's playing tonight too, right?
Florida is playing tonight.
They're still playing.
He did something that we haven't seen since 1979. Him as a draft prospect, it's been interesting seeing some of the noise. This morning, Jay Williams said he might be the second or third pick in the draft, and I don't believe that he will be.
No.
But I wouldn't use Steph Curry as a comp. There is another player in the NBA that when I watch this dude play, I'm like, could he be that?
Uh-huh.
Could he be this player that's not Steph Curry, but is still a pretty damn good player?
You know what they call that?
Yeah.
They call that a radio tease.
They do call that a radio tease.
Let's talk about that next, shall
okay,
we?
Okay, let's do it.
The Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather, not today, but it was on Friday and Saturday. Ooh, buddy, was it nice out there. Pelican brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Hey, do you know Florida's playing tonight, too? We'll talk about that. Talk a little preview in the national championship game. The numbers that Sprague was pointing out have not happened in a long time. We'll give you that historical perspective. Crunch Time is next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. You know, memberships are as low as $9.99 a month, and you can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com.
Getting any stronger?
I am. I also realize I need to get more flexible because I haven't swung a golf club since September, and I played my first round of the year on Saturday, and I am a little ashamed to admit how sore I am. Now, I did go hit a large bucket before the round because it was like, I feel like I should do that. Ended up not probably being the best idea.
Did you get some of your feels back?
Got some of the feels back.
Some of the feels.
Shot a 41 on the front, and then I ran out of gas. I think I just wasn't quite in golf shape yet, and the large bucket also probably played into
that. Bigger question, did you have a glizzy at the turn?
I mean, we know the answer to that.
You had a glizzy?
We know the answer to that question.
Wow.
We know the answer.
I mean, I would have put minus money at yes, but still, like, after the sixth glizzy experience.
There was a glizzy. There was a glizzy to eat, and I probably could have gone for two, to be honest with you. I might have ran out of gas because I was still hungry and I needed two glizzies and one wasn't
enough.
So you
had eight glizzies last week?
No, I didn't eat two. I only had one. I kind of wish after I finished it like halfway down 10 fairway, I was like, I could have done two of those.
I don't want to tell you this, but I kind of need to. Yeah, Friday, I had...
Dude, I could choke down six of those easily.
Three coworkers basically poo-poo this.
The six hot dog thing?
Yeah. Pretty like loudly too.
I want name names.
I'm not going to name names.
Name names. Let's see them eat six hot dogs in 3 hours. While getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, starting at 6 a.m.
And conducting a full radio
and hosting
show.
A radio show. Yeah. And
like you're at work,
doing
you're
calls,
on,
sending
you're on
emails,
calls.
On your headset.
None of them
Let's
are hosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, one of them's a host.
Well, whatever kind your of. Regular job is, or if you're out, you know, maybe
hey,
you're
hey,
out in construction
here's
or
what I'll
like
say.
That.
If I'm going to run my mouth about eating six hot dogs, what did I do the next day?
ate six hot dogs.
So you're going to poo-poo me eating six hot dogs? You better have six hot dogs at your desk tomorrow, and I want to see the evidence that you ate all six in 3 hours.
Well, they might be a little Joe Fisher in the, they're running the mouth, they can do it, but then they never actually try to do it.
Ah, okay. So Joe Fisher's one of the ones running his mouth behind the scenes?
No. Joe was not one of them.
I got my eyes on you, Joe.
I'm saying, much like Joe saying he could run a 5.27 40.
Put your money where your mouth is.
He now will not run it
literally
because he claims he's... What is this thing? 15 pounds or whatever it is?
Said he needs to lose weight, but that's not part of the equation. I mean,
yeah, well, you know, Devondre Sweat was more than 15 pounds bigger than you, and he ran it in a 5.27.
Run the 40, you coward.
That's kind of the point.
Yeah.
One of them, if I showed you who it was, you would say, well, yeah, I believe that person.
You said these are coworkers?
Yeah.
So people I know.
Yeah.
I want names. Give me names.
I'm not giving you
give
names.
Give me names. No.
What are we going to get to here? I'll give you the player comp.
Yeah, what's your player comp?
So Jay Williams on ESPN this morning saying he could see Walter Clayton being the second or third pick in the draft.
It's not going to happen.
Go that far. I think Dylan Harper's going to get picked before him. He's younger.
He doesn't have a radio show anymore.
Well, okay.
Ouch.
Wow.
I mean, that's a ridiculous take. He's not going to be the second pick in the draft.
No, he won't be.
That's a ridiculous reactionary take for a show that debates Bronny James more than the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Weirdly, next to Seth Greenberg doing a segment, it was kind of like they were sitting shoulder to shoulder.
Dumber as a society.
Anyways,
what do you got?
I actually don't think it's the Steph comp. I think that everybody's seeing the late game heroics and they're saying, Steph Curry.
He's been unbelievable.
Do you know whose game I see when I watch him? And I'm not saying he will reach this level, by the way. He's 22, and we've fallen in love with guys in the tournament. All the time. I, at one point in my life, told myself Khalid El-Amin was going to be an awesome NBA player.
Yeah. We were excited when we got Shabazz Napier, man.
Right,
Shabazz is the man.
Bazzy.
A player fans are familiar with?
A player that is very, very good, that when I watch Walter Clayton Jr. and I see a guy that scored 30 points in back-to-back Elite Eight Final Four games, the first since Larry Bird in 79.
Nobody's done it since Larry Bird.
When I watch him play, I think... got a smell of a, wait, that's Jamal Murray.
Ah.
He's got a lot of Jamal Murray
to his
game. I
like that comp. That's a good comp.
When I see him play aesthetically, I see more Jamal Murray than I do Steph Curry.
Doesn't seem like the most athletic guy in the building, but he's just crafty. Crafty, gets a job done, can shoot.
Did you see who Melo comped him to?
Ooh.
Wait, is that NBA Hall of Famer, former Blazer legend Carmelo Anthony?
That very one. There's a quote from him, because he was there for the Final Four. They announced the Hall of Fame class and introduced him.
Yeah.
His comp was Dame.
Oh.
Okay. I could see that.
Man, if you're Dame, yeah, take him second.
What are his measurables?
He's
officially
6'2".
Listed at 6'2".
Something, yeah.
Because he seems a little bigger than, he's not an
bulkier.
He's a bulkier guy. Not the tallest guard in the world, but 6'2". Hey, that fits right in Portland. We could use three more of them.
He has that quick first step like Dame did. Looks like he's lolling in his seat, sleep, trying to
figure out where,
and then he's gone.
I mean, 6'2", he's going to be listed as 6'3", just like Dame was.
You round it up a little bit, and then you stand next to him in the locker room, and you're like, 6'3"?
What? Dame wasn't 6'3".
I remember having that debate with somebody back in the day early in his career. It was trying to argue to me how tall he was, and I was like, I've literally stood next to him in the locker room. I know that he's, like, I've literally...
You're not looking that far up.
I've literally, like, I'm not that tall. He's not that much taller than me. I know what 6'3 looks like. That is a pretty remarkable stat, though, that going back that long, he is the first player... with back-to-back 30-point games in the Elite Eight and Final Four since Larry Bird in 79.
Yeah, I would have just guessed
that. That's wild that nobody's done it since then.
Yeah, same.
I mean, it's been great games. We all remember legendary performances, but the first since Larry Bird in 1979. So, puts you in pretty remarkable category. I want to start the final hour here, and I'm going to have a trivia question for you. If Florida is to win, they will join this group, and can you name the other teams in that group? We'll start there. A little national championship peekaboo it is tonight.
All right.
I do want to get to who had the worst weekend. There was one team in Major League Baseball who did something so unthinkable, but then you're like, that kind of makes sense. Vladdy Jr. got paid. We haven't talked about that at all. He got $500 million last night.
I'll be honest with you. I missed that.
I totally did too. Swag said during one of the breaks earlier, hey, good day to be Vladdy. And I was like, why? What happened to Vladdy? And I was asleep last night. I totally missed it. I didn't see it earlier this morning. I'm like, oh, damn, he got paid. So he got paid.
What time did that come out?
It was like 10 o'clock last night, I think.
8:39-ish.
I was out. I was gone. You weren't going to reach me with Vlad Guerrero Jr. news.
So we got a lot to get to. Loaded final hour, and it's right after Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Final hour next on The Fan.